take your Bibles, if you would, and stand for the reading of God's Word. Luke chapter 10, please. Luke chapter 10. I'll be honest with you, I was a little apprehensive when I heard the theme of this meeting, because tender mercies and independent Baptist just doesn't seem to go along together. It just seems like it's, for some reason, it doesn't match up. It seems like we, many times, we just don't talk a lot about tenderness, and we don't talk a lot about mercy amongst our ranks. Is that okay to say that? Or is that true?
Yeah.
Say it's true even if you don't believe it, because it'll make me feel better. Amen. Luke chapter 10. I'm going to read a portion of two verses, and then we'll begin reading in verse 25. Just let me read verses 9 and verse 11. In verse 9 it says, "The kingdom of God is come nigh unto you." In verse 11 it says that the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. Look at verse 25 if you would, please. "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor? And Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him, and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him, and bound up his wounds, pouring oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these, thinkest thou, was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said," that is the lawyer, "and he said, He that showed mercy on him." Now, look this way for just one moment. Everything that Jesus described about this Samaritan is capitalized in this one word, mercy.
Yeah, amen.
When Jesus said, which one of these did this? Which one of these? He said, what would you say about this? The lawyer said, the one that showed mercy. And so what the lawyer saw was what Jesus had said about what the Samaritan did was mercy. And so mercy is what the Samaritan just did to this man that was in the ditch. Let me continue to read. Then said Jesus unto him, Go and do thou likewise. Father, I pray tonight, truly, Lord, that you'd add your blessings to the reading and the hearing of your word. Father, I pray that you would deal with our hearts tonight, change our lives, and God, help us to be better servants because we have been here tonight. Now, Father, I pray tonight, God, that you'd fill us, that you'd walk amongst us, and God, that you would honor and glorify yourself before the service is over. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Twice Jesus said that the kingdom of God was nigh unto them. And then a certain lawyer stood up and began to challenge him, as was the nature of lawyers. He stood up and he began to challenge him. Now, this is not a lawyer in the sense of a lawyer as we would think of them today. You know this, preachers. This is a man who knows the Mosaic law. And so when he challenges Jesus, it's about the law. And he said to him, What shall I do to inherit eternal life? And then Jesus goes on to challenge him. And he said, sir, you explain to me, what does the law say? Now, I have to think this. They must have been dealing with this verse, because I really don't think this man would have just picked this verse out of all other verses. I think he picked this verse out for a reason. I believe that he was pointed to this verse, and he read this verse, or he quoted this verse. And when he said this, Jesus took a part of this verse out, and he said to him about the neighbor situation. He said, you have said the right thing. He said, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And he said to him, he willing to justify himself, and who is my neighbor? Now, there are three words in the Bible for neighbor. This word is the word plesion, and it means the person that is closest to you. Some of the other words mean in a neighborhood. The other word means across the world somewhere. But this word means someone who is standing closest to you. Gentlemen, let me just say this, that I have spent part of my ministry looking afar off, trying to build something at my feet. Do you understand what I'm saying? I've spent a part of my ministry looking somewhere over someone's head, and I had something standing right in front of me. Recently, I said to my wife about a young lady in our church, I said, you know, I think she's just shot. I just don't think she's ever going to amount to anything. I think she's going to be like this. We'll probably lose her out of church the minute that she graduates from high school. Lo and behold, after one Sunday service, she came up, she sat on the front pew. She said, Pastor, I want to talk to you. She said, Pastor, I just don't want to be like I am anymore. I want my life to change. Pastor, do you think I could possibly go to Bible college? Now, I was looking this way, and I had a jewel sitting in the pew right in front of me. And how many times are the greatest things in our life right at our feet, right in front of us, and we're looking this place or that place or to this city or maybe into a foreign country, trying to find something, to build something, when God said, it is nigh unto you. It is right in front of your face. Recently, we had a gentleman send us some money to buy a pickup for the camp, Brother Thornton, and we do have one now. But we had looked all over. I had gotten on the internet and looked across America trying to find a pickup truck. Brother Donovan came in recently and he said, Preacher, are we still looking for a pickup truck? I said, I'm just so frustrated. I've been looking all over the country. I've looked in the Carolinas. I've looked in California. We can't find the pickup truck we're looking for. He said, Preacher, there's a fleet sales across the street with a pickup truck. I walked outside. I walked in the sidewalk. Across the street sat the ultimate pickup of all time, a Chevrolet. Amen. There it sat. Not a Ford, not a Dodge, but a Chevrolet. I looked all over the country for this pickup. It was literally to the T what we had described, what we'd been praying for. And after this, my staff said, Preacher, you know, sometimes the best things are right in front of us. And I said, excluding the staff. Some of you were very courteous. You said, how was your trip here, Brother Miser? I felt like saying, what do you think? I was in a van with Jimmy Carter for 10 hours. Now, some of you don't know Brother Carter, and you're fortunate. No. So, Brother Carter is our camp director, does a wonderful job, and probably will quit after tonight after I've insulted him. Amen. Sometimes the best things are right at our feet. And that's exactly what Jesus is telling him. He's telling him the best thing is standing right in front of you, sir. And he said, I'm going to illustrate this for you. He said, here's what happened. A fellow was going down the road, a very dangerous road, and he fell amongst thieves. And some fellows just beat the daylights out of him, and they robbed him, and they left him for dead in a ditch. And then he said, one day a Levite came by and looked at this man and said, I can't help him, and walked on. Another time, during the same period of time, a man who was a priest came by. He looks at him, walks on, and then the Bible says that Jesus said, but a Samaritan came by. Now, you'll remember that they had already accused Jesus of having a devil. that was over this issue of Samaritanism, if you'll remember. And so the Jews had a very low look at the Samaritans. They believed that they were demon-possessed. They believed that they were very ungodly, wicked people. They believed, and I say this respectfully, they believed that they were just half-breeds, and they believed that they had no contact with them whatsoever. And so Jesus just reached over and said, I want to take the person that you think the least of, and I want to place them in this story, and I want to place them in this story in such a way that I'm going to be able to expose something that's inside of you, because the Bible says that he was trying to justify himself. It has nothing to do with eternal life here. It has nothing to do with what he really wants. It has to do with what he wanted in his heart, and that was to test, tempt, or to trap Jesus. And so Jesus said, here's how we're going to deal with this. I'm going to take this person, and I'm going to make this up out of thin air, but it's not a story that's unreal, because we know this happens. People get beat up on that road all the time. They get robbed all the time. And so here are these two men that walk by, and they just walk on. Now, most of the time when we hear this preached, we hear that these men had no concern and no care for him. I want you to listen to what I'm about to say. They're Levites. It's a priest and a Levite. The Levite is a potential priest. The priest is a Levite. According to Old Testament law, they cannot have anything to do with this man. He is left for dead. They can't touch a dead body. They can't get near blood. And so when they walk by and they look down, it's not as if they said, oh, I have something else to do. I've got to get home suddenly because I've been away for a month in Jerusalem. It's not as if they said, we want nothing to do with this man. When they looked in that ditch, they said, by the law, we can't touch him. And they walked on. Are you following this? They couldn't touch him. They couldn't have anything to do with him. Sometimes we're awfully hard on the priest and the Levite, saying that they had nothing inside of them that would have helped this man. Had this man shown some liveliness, had this man not been beaten like he was and bloody like he was, they may have helped him. But by law, they could not help him. And what Jesus is saying to the lawyer is this: you have to find out where you can go to get help. You have to go to the place where the help is available. Now, let me relate that to what I said earlier. I spent part of my ministry looking for someone over there to surrender. I've spent part of my ministry looking for a crowd to come from over there, from someplace beyond. And I spent part of my ministry looking over the local neighborhood. We had a couple come to church Sunday. This is so embarrassing. And I said, where are you folks from? And he said, Colorado. And I said, where at in Colorado? He said, Inglewood. That's where the church is. And I didn't want to ask him the next question. I said, are you close to the church? He said, yes. He said, I sure appreciate the way your choir sings and using the songbooks and the King James Bible. I thought, just shut up. I don't want to even hear what you're saying, because I've walked past your door 1,000 times and I've never stopped to tell you about Jesus. Looking to the other end of the city, to the new building project area of the city. Inglewood is kind of an old area of the city. It's not a new area of the city. There are areas of the city that are just building and growing. And I want to tell you something. There are times when we get visitors from those areas, and I think to myself, boy, oh boy, if we could just get them to come to this church. Oh, come on. You guys do this. Don't. Bunch of pious. I'm telling you. I'll come down here and preach if you do this to me. Amen. You do the same thing. You get someone come in like this, and you think to yourself, well, I need to get over and visit them. Yeah. But someone comes from just across the street and maybe not such a good house. Sometimes we're not so quick to get over there and want them to come into the church. Come on, help me out with this. And that's exactly what Jesus is saying. He's saying, you can't get mercy. You can't get what this Samaritan give you. Listen, what this Samaritan give this man, you can't get this from someone who can't give it to you. You can't get it from a priest and a Levite because they are restricted. What is he saying? He's saying you can't get mercy out of the law. You can't get mercy out of a rule or a regulation. Mercy comes when you see someone, and the word means compassion. When we see someone that needs compassion, they have no place else to turn, and we extend that compassion to them. Why? Because we're the only ones that can give it to them. They're not going to get that out of a legal system. They're not going to get that out of the world. They're not going to get that from the religiosity of the day. They're going to get that from a compassionate, independent, fundamental, Bible-believing Baptist preacher that has compassion on that person's soul. The Levite and the priest can't do it. They do not have the ability to do that. They are restricted in the law. And so when Jesus described this situation, I have no doubt that as he was describing this to the lawyer, he was stepping one step closer to him all the time. And he was saying to him, "Let me tell you a story, sir, about a man who was going down through the road around Jericho. And that man fell amongst thieves. And that man, after he fell amongst thieves, was beaten, bloody, he was robbed, he was left for dead. And after he was left for dead, guess what happened? A Levite came by. And I got feedback. So I'll use you, Brother Thornton. A Levite came by. And then a priest came by. And they couldn't do anything for him. Then a Samaritan came by. And the lawyer went, "Oof, makes me gag, a Levite. I can't even get anywhere near them. A priest, I can't get anywhere near them." Amen? And then he got real close to this fella, and he said, "Let me tell you something. They couldn't do anything with him. So you tell me, who did the right thing?" Now, I believe they're standing like this. "The kingdom of God is nigh unto you." And I think eyes are meeting eyes right now. The reason I think this is because I worked for the military for a while and I saw drill sergeants do this. There's just nothing like having a round brown hat touching your forehead. Eye to eye. And I think they're standing there like this. And Jesus said, "Now you tell me who the neighbor is." Look at this. Who is closest to you? That's what the word plesion means. Who's closest to you? That's your neighbor. That's the one that can do something for you. And he said, "Could I move over here just a little bit?" "No, I'm moving with you." He said, "The one that showed mercy?" And Jesus said, "Now you got it. Now you understand it. The one that is standing right in front of your face, sir, is the one that can take care of this problem. Your neighbor is the one that is closest to you. The one that is closest to you is the one that can show you mercy, sir." And he said, "So try this. You try going out and doing likewise." Amen. Now, preacher, why did he say that to him? Very simple. He's a lawyer. He can't. It's impossible. He has to understand that mercy has a source. The Bible is replete with illustrations of mercy. There are very few times in the Bible when you see the direct source of that mercy. The direct source of that mercy is Jesus and Jesus alone. And so, when we look around our neighborhoods and we say, who are the people that we should tell about Jesus? I just say this. Look at the ones that need compassion. Amen. Look at the ones that need tender mercy. This word mercy in this passage is the most common usage, and it does mean tender mercy. And so, as I look out over my neighborhood, as I look out over my city, and I look into the eyes of those people, I have to ask myself a question. Do they know who their neighbor is? Do they know the person that can extend compassion to them? Do they know if they ask that question, how do I get eternal life, that I am the one standing there?
Amen.
That I am the one that can offer them tender mercy? Amen. Let me give you an illustration. When my son was just a young man, well, he was a little boy. He wasn't a man. He was a little boy. Periodically, he'd get in over his head. You see, you don't need mercy until you can't pay back. And sometimes he just couldn't pay it back. He'd get in over his head in trouble. And he'd be standing there like this. And boy, I would just be reading the riot act. And he would be looking at me like, I'm going to get it, aren't I? And then he would do this. Like, go ahead. There's nothing else I can do. I deserve it. And every now and then, I would say, son, it's okay. You're not going to get spanked. You're all right. Now, son, I want you to stop this. But I want you to understand, you're getting a reprieve this time. Do you know why? He was in over his head. He knew he couldn't get out. And he just said, go ahead. I'll take it. Go ahead. Go ahead and hit me. And I just couldn't hit him. Now, there was sometimes I did hit him. But it's hard to hit them when they're doing that. And I'd just reach down and I'd hug him and I'd say, son, this is a freebie. You're getting off this time because of your attitude. Folks, I believe there are people laying in ditches all over our communities. All over our towns and cities, there are people laying there that can't pay it back. They're half dead. And they need someone to come along and be their neighbor. They need someone to be that one that is like this. See, the lawyer couldn't do it. And the priest couldn't do it. And the Levite couldn't do it. The only one that could do it was the one who had the ability to extend mercy. To get them out of the debt that they could not pay. Let me say this in closing. I know how to be tough. And I know how to be harsh. And I know how to be like this. But sometimes it takes a little more to know when to say, you can't pay it back. I'll extend mercy to you. Let me leave you with this illustration. We got a kid in our church that's ornery. Is it just Monday or what's going on? I have a kid in my church that's ornery. And so do you. I have a kid in my church that's ornery. And I'll be honest with you. My first inclination is just whip the daylights out of him. But you know, when they're not yours, and in this current day and time, you get sued over that. And his mother told me he had ADD. Now, I don't buy that. That just makes me want to whip him even more. Just to prove to her, he doesn't have ADD. He's just ornery. But I want to tell you something. I started going up to him and sitting down with him and saying, how are you doing today? He'd go. One Sunday evening, I went and got him from his mother. And I said, come with me. And he went. And I took him up and set him on the pew beside me, on the deacon's bench. And he sat there swinging his legs like this. And he looked up at me like this. And I said, quit swinging your leg. He went. And he sat there for a minute. I said, "Are you having a good time?" And he said, and I said, "And go ahead and swing your leg." And he went. I gave him a big hug and I sent him down to his mama. Slowly but surely, he doesn't run around anymore, doesn't cause trouble anymore. But let me tell you what he does. Every few weeks, he draws a picture of me. And he gives it to me. Now, I wouldn't dare show you the pictures that he draws, because it probably looks more like me than I want to admit. And he'll come up to me like this. And I'll say, "Erwin, thank you so much." And I'll bend down and I'll say, "Erwin, you're a good kid, aren't you?" And he'll go. He'll look at his mom. And I'll say, Erwin, I want you to be a good kid and I want you to grow up and serve Jesus. And he'll go. I've got a pile of those cards at the house that are just worthless paper. But let me tell you what they are. They're a little boy laying in a ditch that needs somebody to come along and say, "While you're this age, let me get you out of there. Let me take you over to the innkeeper. Let me leave you here. And when I come back, I'll pay for it." We know what that's talking about. Preacher, let me encourage you to do something. Think of somebody right now that's in a ditch. Think of somebody that just needs a preacher. Not just to preach to them in the pulpit, but to go bend down in that ditch and pick them up and say, "It's going to be okay. I'll take you with me. I'll minister to you. I'll do what's necessary to get you to Him." Let me ask you something. Who's your neighbor? Probably some little squirrely kid sitting in the pew. Who's your neighbor? Probably that kid that's going to grow up and be a preacher someday. Who's your neighbor? There's probably somebody in a farmhouse. I guarantee you there's somebody in a farmhouse around this area. Probably somebody in a farmhouse. Probably somebody that you're passing by at the grocery store. Probably someone that is sitting in the pew on Sunday, and they need a neighbor. They need somebody that can show them mercy because they're in over their head and they can't get out on their own. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed.